Today, we begin lesson number 29 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Chulin. And today we begin the ninth perek, entitled Perek Ho'or V'Horotov. And we will really be going into a kind of a new topic, a topic related to the halachos of Tumah. V'tahara. Min haTorah, if food becomes tome, for example, if food is touched by a sheretz, one of the eight reptiles or rodents listed in the Torah as being the carcasses of which, the dead bodies of which, are tame and are metame food. So if food comes into contact, for example, with the sheretz, that food is tame. How much food is necessary? What quantity of food is necessary to become tame? For example, if you have just a drop of food and the sheretz touches it, does it become tame? That is a machlokes rishonim. The Rambam rules that even a small amount of food, smaller than the size of an egg, smaller than the size of an olive, if it comes into contact with the sheretz, it is mekabel tumah. Others, this seems to be the pshat of Rashi, disagree. But for our purposes, what we're concerned with is not the quantity of food that becomes tumah, but rather, if foodstuff becomes tame, how much of it is necessary to make other food mitame, tame? Because the halacha is that ochlim tameim, that foodstuff which is tame, can render other foodstuff or drink, liquids, tame. In other words, ochel is mitame ochel. Ochel is mitame mashkim. And the quantity of food necessary to be metame other food is the shiur, the size of a beitza, of an egg. Happens to be an egg without its shell, but an egg. So if you have foodstuff, the size of an egg, which has become tame, and that foodstuff, the size of an egg or more, touches other food, the other food also becomes tame. That's the halacha of tumas ochalin. There's another type of tumah, and that has to do with the dead carcass of a cow. For that matter, the dead carcass of a cat is mitame tumas nevela. And as we will see, the quantity of nevela, the quantity of carcass of a dead, not shechted, obviously, dead hit by a truck cow, or dead animal of whatever sort, necessary to be metame tumas nevela, to render a person, for example, who touches it or carries it tame, that quantity is a kezias, the size of an olive, which of course is smaller, quite a bit smaller, than the size of a beitza, the size of an egg. So we're discussing here two different types of tumas, tumos. One is tumas ocholim, the tumah of food which is tameh, and the conditions under which the quantity of food, the kebetza of food, can be metameh other food. And we're also talking about a different type of tumah, the tumah of a nevela, the tumah of a dead carcass, and the conditions under which a kezias of that carcass is metame other things like people, Jewish people. The Mishnah says, Ho'or, the hide, the leather, the skin of an animal. V'horotev, and the soup in which the meat of an animal has been cooked. And this soup, this rotev, is sitting on the meat. and is korush, it is congealed, it is hardened, it is frozen. Vahakifa, kifa is the spice, the garlic, the onions, etc. That's usually cooked with meat to make it taste better. Viho alal, there are various translations of alal. We will translate the word alal as the flesh which adheres to the skin of an animal after the animal has been flayed. So you flay the skin, certain bits of meat remain and stuck to the inner surface of the hide even as you flay it. And that's called alal. Vihoatsomos, bones, bones which have marrow in them. Vahagidim, and those sinews in the animal, which are permissible to eat. We're not discussing gid hanosha, but other sinews which are permissible to eat, but normally would not be eaten. No one sits down to eat a bowl of gidin. Vaharkanayim, and the horns of an animal. The horns at the point at which the horns are still attached to the flesh, so that if you would cut the horns at that point, blood would ooze out. Vahatelofayim, and the hoofs of the animal. Again, the hoofs near the flesh, at the point at which if you would cut those hoofs, blood would flow. In all these cases, mitstorfin. Mitstorfin means if you have flesh attached, flesh, meat, attached to the ore, to the hide, to the rotef, to the kifa, etc. But the meat itself is not the size of a kibetza. But the meat plus the ore is the size of a kibetza, of an egg. The meat itself is not the size of a kibetza. But the rotov, the congealed soupy stuff around it, adds to it so that together they are the size of a kibetza. Or if you have meat, which itself is not a kibetza, but it has kifa, it has garlic and onions, etc. around it. Or you have meat which is not a kibetza, but it has gidin, karnayim, telofayim, which together with the meat make it reach the size of a kibetza, comprise a full kibetza. So in all these cases, this whole list in our Mishnah, from ha'or all the way down to ha'telofayim, the hooves, mitstorfin letame tumas ochalin, they all combine with the meat so that together, if they are tamei, they are metamei other food. Understand? They are metamei other food. So if, for example, you have a sheretz which has touched meat, and the meat is stuck together with its hide around the meat, so the meat is now tamei tumas ochlin. Fine. But can that meat, which is less than a kibetza, be metame other foods? Since it's less than a kibetza, well, if it's still stuck to the hide, or if it has on it the kippah, or the alal, or gidin, or kanayim, or tlofayim, and together, the meat plus the or, or the rotev, or the kippah, etc., etc., comprises a kibetza or more, then that piece of meat with the or can be mitame other food tumas ocholin. So that the meat is mitstaref, it is combinable with the or, for example, in order to make it a complete kibetza, which then negatively enables it to be mitame other food tumas ocholin. In the case of or, the reason is because the or, the hide, is a shomer, is a protection for the meat. It protects it from other elements that would render the meat, which would spoil the meat. So something which is a shomer is mitztaref with the food which it is shomer, which it is guarding, protecting, the tamei tumas ocholim. But, says the Mishnah, avolo tumas nevelos. If, for example, you have a cow which was hit by a truck and killed. So this cow is now a nevela. And the flesh of the cow, which is metame tumas nevela, so that if a human being touches it, for example, he becomes tome with tumas nevela and has to go to the mikvah, etc. If there's a kazayas of basar, so it's metame tumas nevela. But suppose there's no kazayas of basar, but the basar plus the or plus the hide, or the basar plus the rotov, or the basar plus the kippah, etc., the basar plus the horns, the basar plus the hooves, would add up to a full kazayas? No, it does not combine to render it nevela. Because the pasuk says, in Parshas Shmini, when we deal with these halachos, in Vayikra Yuralov Pasuk Lametes, Hanogeya benivloso, the person becomes tome if he touches the nevela, but not the hide which is on the nevela. The hide does not, is not mashlim. The hide does not complement, complement, the basar. The reason being that even though the hide is a shomer, and as shomer is mitztaref, a shomer does combine with the meat, letame tumas ocholin, but a shomer is not mitztaref, letame tumas nevelos. And similarly, the rotov, the soup, and the kippah, the onions and garlic, etc., they're not nevela. They're onions and garlic. And therefore, they're not mitztaref for tumas nevela. And the alal, and the gidim, and the kanayim, etc., and the hooves, are not basar. Nevela has to be basar. This other stuff is not basar. Kayot, so we see a big distinction between tumas ochalin and tumas nevela with regards to whether or not these other things on the list are mitztaref. The Mishnah continues. Kayot sebo, similarly, we have other examples of meat, of flesh, which is metame tumas ochlin if it became tome through contact with the sheretz, but is not metame tumas nevelos. How do you have it? Fascinating situation. Hashochet behema tumeya l'nochri. A person goes and slaughters a behema tumeya, a pig, for a goy. All right, he has a goyish neighbor, John McDonald, and John McDonald needs someone to slaughter his pig for him so he can have ham and eggs and the bacon and whatever he eats. And he asks his Jewish neighbor, please come and slaughter the pig for me. There's nothing wrong with a Jewish person doing that. Now, he shechts the animal. He takes a shechita knife and shechts it. And the animal is now as good as dead, but it's still moving around reflexively. As you know, or may know, if you slaughter an animal with shechita, it doesn't just die instantly, depending upon definition of death, of course. But for a while, it flutters around. The proverbial chicken without a head. You can check the chicken, I saw this many times, can check the chicken, and even after it, the chicken hops around the barn. It's a reflex. His nervous system continues to do its function in certain ways, basic primitive ways, but the animal is moving. That's the meaning of the word mefarkesis. The animal is moving around, jumping around with its limbs, even though it has been shechted. Well, what's the status of this meat, of this pig, in this case? Mitam'o tumas ocholin. It, that meat, the ham, that bacon, is metame tumas ochlin. meaning, if an av hatumah touched this pig, a sheretz touched this pig, the pig becomes tome, and it is metame other ochalin. Now, this animal, this ham, this living pig, half living pig, shechted pig, obviously cannot be eaten by a Jew. But interestingly, it can't be eaten by a goy either, because it's not dead yet. And a goy too is not allowed to eat Eivre Menachai. So he can't slice off a piece of ham from this pig until it's actually stone dead. Nevertheless, since a Jew shechted it, and the shechita of a Jew would render a cow kosher if with the shechita, so therefore, in a certain sense, it renders this pig, quote, kosher, not kosher, but it renders it food. Food for whomever can eat it. Actually, no one can eat it until it's stone dead. So at that point, it is considered, strangely enough, living ochel, living foodstuff. And as such, if it a sheretz touches it, rendering it tome, and then it, the ham, it comes into contact with other food, that other food becomes tome. Avalulo tumas nevelos. But this pig, which is mefarkeses, this behemoth tumeya, which is mefarkeses, is not mitame tumas nevela. Ache tomus, until it is dead, stone dead. And now we have a phrase in the Mishnah which tells us an interesting thing. Oh, ache yatiz es rosha. If he chops the head off the pig, then even if the pig, after its head's chopped off, it's still mefarcheses, once the head chopped off, that's the definition of death. It's, so to speak, brain dead. No head. Nothing's functioning above its neck. And then it becomes tome tumas nevela. It's a dead pig. But before we have clear signs of misa, obviously one of which is the complete severance of the head, until that point, even though its simonim, its esophagus and trachea have been severed, since it is mifarkeses, it is not a nevela. You can't, a nevela means a carcass. This pig is not yet a carcass until it is stone cold dead. And therefore it's metame tumas ochalin, but not tumas nevela. Interesting, again, but consistent with what we learned before. The criteria for tumas ochlin are very different from the criteria for tumas nevela. The Mishnah continues. Riba, the Torah has been more extensive, has given a broader definition, letame tumas ochlin, for foodstuff to be metame tumas ochlin, mimashe riba letame tumas nevelos. The criteria for tumas ochlin are Rav, are greater, are broader than those four tumas nevelos. The Mishnah concludes now with a nitfet opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ho'alal ha'mechunas. Halal, we defined as that meat, that bosor, which remains, which adheres, which remains stuck to the hide at the time of flaying it. Suppose you take that, scrape it all off the hide, and gather it together in one place. That's alal hamechunas. Im yesh bo kezayis b'mokom echod. If there was a kezayis of alal in one place, in other words, the animal is hit by a truck, you flay the skin. On the skin, some flesh adheres to the skin even after the flaying. You scrape that flesh and put it all into one box, which is the size of, contains the size of a kezayis or more. Then says Rabbi Yehuda, chayav olov. Meaning, if I would go and touch this alal mechunos, this kezayis of alal mechunos, in other words, I would have touched a nevela, kezayis of boso nevela, and then I would go into the Beis HaMikdosh, or I would eat a korban, I would be chay of kores, because I'm tomei, tumas nevela. I came into contact with nevela, and I entered the Mikdosh, or ate kodoshim, without the proper going to the mikveh, etc., I would be chayav kores. The reason being that even though normally alal is not considered basar, that flesh which adheres to the skin when you're flaying it is not considered basar. But since I scraped it all together and put it into one box which contained a kazayas worth of alal, so with that action, I am rendering it basar. I am being machshivit. I am giving it certain significance. I'm not just throwing it out to the cat, but rather I'm scraping it together and saving it and putting it into my fridge. So obviously I consider it basar. I've made it into basar mentally, and therefore it is basar, and it's metamei tumas nevelus, according to Rabbi Yehuda. However, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. And so we have Mishnah Aleph, an interesting Mishnah. The one thing we did see from the previous Mishnah is that the hide of most mammals is not basar, is not considered basar. It might, in the case of Tumas Ochlan, combine with basar to make a kabetza, which then would be metame something else, Tumas Ochlan. But the ore itself, the hide itself, and the examples we had until now, until the point we're about to embark on in a moment, are not basar. However, elu, the following are situations or conditions or animals or parts of animals, she'odoseihen kivisoron, that the hide, the skin, is considered basar, as far as tumah is concerned. And one big one is or ha'odom, the skin of a human being, is considered like his flesh. And just as the flesh of a human being, all human beings, according to some opinions, Jewish people, according to all opinions, are the dead body is metame, so is the skin of a dead body metame. V'or chazir shel yishuv, and the skin of a domesticated pig, a pig, porky pig, his or would be metame tumas nevelos like the bosor. Because the skin of the domesticated pig raised on the farm, the porky pig, is edible, and people eat it. It's soft. However, according to this opinion, a wild pig, presumably a boar, B-O-A-R, is harder and is not edible, and therefore is not metame tumas nevelo. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af or chazir habor, he disagrees and says even the hide of the wild pig, the boar, B-O-A-R, is also like basar, and the hide of a chazir habor is metame tumas nevela, holds Rabbi Yossi. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi. The Mishnah continues, with other or, other hide, leather, skin, which is kabosar, which is like meat, and is metame, and that is or chatoteres, the hump, the hide of the hump, shel gomol horako, of a, a rookie camel, a soft camel. Gemara explains, a camel which has never yet carried a load, so its hump is still soft, and its hide of its hump is still soft, and is considered like bosor. V'or horosh shel egel horach, and also the skin of the head of a baby calf, meaning a calf which is still nursing from its mother. So its the skin of its head is also soft, and therefore is kibosor. V'or haperosos, and the hide of the hooves. What do we mean by the hide of the hooves? So some say this means exactly what it says, the hide of the hooves, that around the hooves there is a layer of skin, and that's what we're talking about. Others explain that we're talking about here the ore of the arkovo hanimkeres im horosh. Remember when we learned a little bit about the anatomy of the animal, of the cow, we learned that there is a small bone way down the bottom of the foot of the animal, just above its hooves. And for some reason, when the animal was flayed, that bone and its surrounding meat was sold on the market together with the head of the animal. So Rashi understands that the hide of this area, way down at the bottom of the foot of the animal, just above the hooves, that hide is soft and is kibosor. V'or beis haboshes, also the hide of the uterus of a female animal. V'or hashalil, and the hide of a fetus which is found inside an animal which has been shechted. You shecht an animal, you open it up, and inside there's a fetus. We learned various halachos about that. Now we're learning that not only is the flesh of the fetus itself considered bosor, but the hide of the fetus is also considered bosor. V'or shetachas ha'alya, and also the hide, the skin of the animal under its tail, is also soft and considered bosor. V'or ho'anoka v'hakoach v'halto'o v'hachomet. In Parshas Shemini, Vayikra Yuralef, Psukim Choftes and Telamet, are listed eight shirotzim, eight creeping, crawling things. And four of them are listed here. I'm not even going to try to give you the English translation of these terms, because there are a million different opinions about what they are, but they seem to all be what we would call today reptiles, lizards, of one sort or another. So these are four shirotzim, and the dead sheretz, of course, is metame. But what about the ore of a dead sheretz, the skin of one of these lizards? Is that metame? So the Tanakhama in this Mishnah says that the Anoka and the Koach and the Lito and the Chomet, all the kind of lizards, are all Orom is Kibosor, because their skin is soft and is the same, has the same halacha as their flesh. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Halito Kachuldo, one of these on this list is the Lito, so again, some type of lizard. It is equivalent to a chulda, which is often translated as a weasel, because among the list, besides the four that we have here, Hanoka, Vahakoach, Vahalto, Vahachomet, there are others, the chulda, the achbor, the tzav, which are rats, weasels, some say frogs, etc., tinshomes. But those animals, the chulda, everyone agrees its hide is not like its basar, because its hide is hard. However, Rabbi Yehuda says that whereas all agree that the achbor, the tzav, the tinshemes, and the chulda are ein orom kibisorom, their hide is hard and not equivalent to its flesh. However, the other four, anoka koach alto vachomet, the Tanakhama holds all of those four are orom kivisorom. Their hide is soft and equal to its flesh halachically. Rabbi Huda says that the Lito'a is an exception. The Lito'a is equivalent to the choled, and therefore its or is not tome, is not metame, because its or is hard. We do not follow Rav Yehuda, and therefore we make a clear distinction between the choled, achbar, tzav, tinshemes, which the or is hard and does not have a halacha like their bosor, versus the anoka, the koach, the lato, and the chomet, where we paskin that their hide is like bosor, orom kibisorom, because it's soft. V'chulon, in all the situations above, where we have various animals, parts of animals, whose hide, whose skin is kibisorom, is soft and therefore halachically equivalent to their bosor. Suppose she'ibdon, you work, you tan, T-A-N, these oros in such a way that you harden them, O shehilach bohem, or you trample them and put pressure upon them, kidei avoda, you put enough pressure, you trample them for a long enough period of time that's equal to ibud, that's equal to the tanning process. The amount of time is considered the time that it would take to walk 4 milin to Horin. In such a case, then that ore is no longer considered basar, but it's considered hide, because you've made it into a hide through your primitive manufacturing process, converting what was basar into hide. There's one exception. There's one hide or skin, which even if you tan it, trample it, and harden it artificially, it remains considered basar, and that is human skin. Chutz me'or ha'odom. When it comes to human skin, even if a person would take the skin of a human body and render it into leather through an ibud process, it would remain part of the basar. And the Gemara says an interesting thing. Dvar Torah or odom she'ibdo tohor min ha'torah. There's no difference between the ore of the camel's hump and the ore of a human being. Once you work it into leather, it is leather and not basar, and therefore it is tohor and not tome. And so that the skin of a human being, once it was mu'ubad, once it was worked through and become hardened like leather, it would not be metame as a corpse of a human being would be metame. Min ha'torah. However, midrabbanon, it's considered to be like basar, and it is tome. Umatam omru tome, says the Gemara. Gezeiro shemo yase odom oros oviv v'imo shetichem. Human beings can be quite callous, and it's quite possible that for all kinds of reasons, people will take their father or their mother's body, flay off the skin, harden it, and make out of it a shatiach, a carpet, a rug. They may even have wanted to do this for positive reasons. They want to preserve the memory of their father, so they take the skin off his body and make it into some type of a pillowcase or whatever. We don't want people doing that with the ore of their parents. And therefore, we say that if you do it, it remains no different from the corpse itself, and it is metame. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, Shmona Shrotzim, all of the 8 Shrotzim, which we listed before, Hacholed v'Hachpor v'Hatzov v'Hatin Shemes, v'Hanokov v'Hakoach v'Haltov v'Hachomet, all 8 Yeshlohem Oros, all of them, their hide is hide, and therefore not basar. Because the Tanakama, we said before, listed 4 Shirotzim, whose ore is like basar. And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, the Latar, the ore of the Latar, is not like basar. Along comes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and says, no, all of the Shirotzim are Ein Orosehem Metamim Kipsorim. Their ore is ore, and therefore distinct from the basar and not metame. We do not rule like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And so we have finished the second Mishnah of the 9th Perek of Chulin. And in the process, took us a little while, we have finished lesson number 29.